this, I guess, what would we call it, partnership between the Air Force and the Air National Guard in Missouri that to do some work with the B-2s over at Whiteman. Is that an appropriate phrase, is partnership?
Well, you can call it that. That's a good term for it. The technical term for it within the Air Force is a classic association between the active duty and the Air National Guard. So what that means is, in a sense of a classic association, is that the active duty has operational control of the airplanes, and then we bring in maintenance and pilots to fly it side by side with them. So in essence, is it really a true partnership? You know.
Now, what does the Guard get out of this?
Well, I don't think the Guard gets... that's a difficult question. what I think is more appropriate is the nation gets something out of it, the mission, the nation. You know, the B-2 is such a great airplane, and it's a national asset that when you bring in the stability of the Guard, because we don't move around a lot, so we have the same people working on the airplane day in and day out for years and years and years throughout their career. And the same thing with the pilots. You know, they're highly experienced, and they stay with the airplane, so they bring in a lot of experience and stability. So it's not so much what the Guard gets out of it, it's what the country gets out of it overall.
Correct me if I'm wrong. This is basically, is this a switch in mission from the F-15 unit that was in St. Louis to the B-2s now? Is that what this works out to be?
Yes, it does. You know, we were flying Eagles F-15s here until my last F-15 left June 13th of this year. But we've been growing the mission out at Whiteman, so gradually we've been shifting. What we call it is an off-ramp from the F-15, if you can think of it that way, and an on-ramp to the B-2. So it was very carefully orchestrated to take one mission down or one airplane down and build the next one, flying unit. So, yes, it is. You know, we right now have about 500 people out at Whiteman or so, and then the long-term plan is to move the remainder of the wing out there. And it'll take some time to do that, but that's where we're going with it.
Well, this is a big switch to go from flying single-seat fighters to flying, dual-seat stealth bombers, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It was a big switch and all that, but, you know, it's a great airplane. And, if you got experienced pilots and experienced maintainers, yeah, it's a different airplane, different type of mission, but the transition in and of itself is not that difficult. You know, I always joke, if I can fly it, anybody can. but it's a great airplane. It's a very good airplane, and we're very proud to be part of the mission. You know, like I said, it really represents the active duty and the Guard coming together to make a total force that is stronger and a mission better, you know, for the good of the country. So it's outstanding.
Tell me how this works, because you had the unit in St. Louis, and are the guys who are still part of the unit from St. Louis now driving out to Whiteman Air Force Base?
Well, it's a mix. We have full-time people that were moved out to Whiteman. You know, we call it a permanent change of station, so they had to pick up their family. And that's been very trying for many families and very difficult, but, you know, they move them out. That's the full-time piece. And, yes, there are some traditional guardsmen, the part-time guardsmen, that are driving out there. And then at the same time, as we build the mission out there, we have more and more people from the local community out there joining the Guard. So it'll eventually be just like it was here in St. Louis, where most people will live in a local area and be part of that unit out there, you know, either full-time or part-time. But that'll take years to settle down. But, yes, we do have people, you know, driving from St. Louis, you know, out to there right now.
Just as I heard about this a year ago, and now as we watch it develop, one of the thoughts that occurred to me was that for the last several years, while we've had the B-2 wing at Whiteman, there's been that unit, and there have been the pilots for the B-2s. But, and it seems to me they've probably had a pretty exhaustive flight schedule for that small cadre of pilots out there. And now we have the National Guard folks coming in. Does this give them some more flexibility as far as their own personnel and their own staff and perhaps even some relief from a very heavy and probably very stressful flight schedule that these folks have maintained all these years?
Well, I think an airplane like that, the B-2 or even the F-15, it can only support so many pilots, you know, because of, you know, the time to maintain and turn the airplane and fly it and all that. So we will come in, and we already are there, and actually probably long-term replace some of the pilots. So the ops tempo for the pilots doesn't really change, you know, too much. But what happens, though, the experienced pilots that I bring in, and there are many experienced pilots there already, so don't take me wrong there, but our experience allows us to work a lot of the supervision or the shops, you know, that takes for planning or standardization evaluation. You know, we work in those shops because of the experience and knowledge that we have. And again, it just makes for a better total mission as we go forth and all that. But they'll remain busy no matter what. it's a world-class airplane doing world-class things for the country, so it's always going to stay busy.
Talk to me a little bit about making the transition from flying a very agile, very fast fighter plane to flying a larger, slower, but still very highly sophisticated thing like the B-2. Talk to me about making that transition.
From a personal standpoint, Well, I've never flown what's called a heavy airplane, and the heavy, I think, is classified over 300,000 pounds, so that was different for me. I've flown fighters for 30 years, but, you know, I always go back and I look at, you know, a pilot, to me, loves to fly, and that's what I am, so it was a great thing to get into that, and it was very different. You know, it has the same, you know, handling qualities, I should say, as any airplane. You know, it's just some different numbers and all that. Yes, you can't go straight up or straight down with it like an F-15, and, you know, it doesn't do tight turns and that. But if you're an experienced pilot, you know, you get in the cockpit, and you've got the throttles and the rudders, and the B-2 is neat because it has a stick just like the F-15 did, you know. And it has the same injection seat, so, you know, stepping into it was relatively comfortable. You know, it was like I've been here before, just much bigger, you know, and heavier. So it has radar just like the F-15 did in some capacities. So a lot of it was pretty neat. Now, the neat thing about the B-2, it's all what's called a glass cockpit. You know, all the instruments are in display units versus round dials, what the F-15 had and all that. But it's an airplane, and it's a beautiful airplane. I always tell the story. When I first drove up for my first flight, you know, in the crew van waiting for the airplane to come in, and then we turned that airplane and put new crews on it, you know, I saw it pull into its parking spot. It was just, wow, this is a really pretty airplane. It's a beautiful airplane. But it's all it's good.
Well, how have you adjusted from making the relatively short duration flights that a fighter has to some of the really long flights that the B-2s make?
Yeah, well, in my capacity, the longest training flight I had is around 5 hours. So that gets it's a little difficult, you know, sitting there that long. But the good thing about the B-2 is that and in certain portions of the flight, whether it's not as critical, you know, one guy can be in the seat and the other guy can get up, you know, and take a little bit of break and stretch his legs and all that. So you can get a little bit of comfort with that. Now, with the F-15, you couldn't do that. And there were, you know, in the F-15, there were some long flights, you know, if I crossed the ocean, you know, either going east or west. You know, I could be in the cockpit, you know, for up to 9-10 hours without getting up and moving. Now, that doesn't compare to the B-2, where they can fly some very, very long, almost 2 days worth of missions. And I haven't had to do that, so I can't really comment on that. But they get trained in that, too. You know, when they go through their full training course, the combat mission ready pilots, you know, they will go through and do 24-hour simulators and stuff like that so they can get adjusted to it and learn how to deal with the long flights. So that's all trained and done very well.
I guess we just never think of the National Guard as in this kind of a role, at least being so plugged into the active duty Air Force and the flying of the latest technology in Air Force planes. So this is kind of a special deal for the 131st, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's great. It's just a great deal, very special mission, very proud, you know, to be part of it. And, you know, to what it means is that the Air National Guard can be in a combat situation just as the active duty does, and they can do it right from home. I mean, if, you know, the B-2 can respond very quickly anywhere in the world, and the Guard is part of that, where we never have had to be that way before. In the F-15 days, we had, you know, we could be called up and sent to war, and many of my pilots did fly combat. I flew combat missions over northern Iraq and southern Iraq. You know, there was a time that you were given quite a bit of warning, then you would gen up the whole unit and then go. But the Guard in the B-2 mission, just like the actives are right now, they're kind of on call anytime, anywhere in the world. So, and we're part of that and doing it right from home. So it's a great mission.
But your unit has a special distinction because a lot of units flew the F-15s.
Yeah.
And you're the only National Guard unit that is flying this B-2. So I would think this would be a source of a considerable amount of pride for you and the rest of the folks in your unit to be involved in this.
Oh, it is. It is. You know, it's just outstanding, you know, to be part of it, one and only. I mean, and we banter that about wherever we go, you know, when we're at conferences with other people, and we're very, very proud of that and brag on that as the only Guard unit flying the B-2. You know, the Adjutant General of Missouri, you know, he does the same, you know, as he meets with the other Adjutant Generals. There's one per state, and he brags on us quite a bit about we're the only one flying the B-2 in this real-world mission. So, yeah, we're extremely proud of it.
Yeah. Where do you see this joint effort being in another 3 or 4 or 5 years? Have you already got everything pretty much in place, or are you looking down the road to see where this relationship's going?
We're going to continue to grow, you know, the mission out there, in the sense that move the rest of the wing out there over a period of a couple of years. There are some resources there that we need and we'll get, and then gradually, you know, transition another 500 plus people out there over the next couple of years, and that'll make the wing stronger out there and better able to support the people out there. There's a lot of logistics behind ops and maintenance. You know, you need medical pieces to make sure the pilots and all the maintainers and all the rest of the force is strong. We'll bring that in there, and then the whole support side of the house and my wing staff will all move out eventually. So it'll continually to grow stronger and stronger, you know, better suit the needs of the Total Force Initiative, where the active and the Guard comes together. So I just see it getting better and better all the time.
Do you see Whiteman becoming more and more of a center? Don't they already have an A-10 National Guard unit also based at Whiteman?
Yes, they do. The Whiteman, the current wing commander and the previous one, is the current wing commander, Brigadier General Wheeler, and previous commanders always brag about that, and they're right on, that Whiteman is truly a total force type of base. Not only do you have a A-10 reserve wing, a reserve Air Force wing there, then you have us as a Guard wing, obviously the active duty, and then you have a Army National Guard, Missouri Army National Guard helicopter unit there. And I believe there's also a bit of a Navy Reserve presence there on the base. So we've got all kinds of stuff out there, and it's a great place to have it.
Have you moved out there yourself yet, or are you still in St. Louis?
No, I'm still in St. Louis, and mainly driven by the fact that my headquarters and a lot of the support functions here, you know, that I have to be here, you know, far. And then I go back and forth. I probably spend about 50% of my time out there. And in fact, I'll be there tomorrow and Wednesday. And then it just varies depending upon events and what I need to get done as the wing commander. I move back and forth.
Do you drive or what do you fly?
No, I drive.
Okay.
You know, I just have a staff car and a government car, and it takes me about 3 hours door to door.
Are there any F-15s at all left in St. Louis?
No, the last one left June 13th.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. After 86 years of flying off at Lambert Field.
Man.
Oh yeah.
Is there going to be nothing left at Lambert?
No, I think there'll be something here in some capacity, and that's my personal opinion. Long term. There are other units on Lambert Field that I support, 239th Combat Com, 231st Civil Engineering, even a band, 571st Air Force Band. We're possibly bringing up Army Guard units onto Lambert Field and some of the vacated buildings. So I see a presence at Lambert for quite a few years down the road, either in a combined way, or joint, I should say, Army Guard and Air Guard units on here. And then we also have the Navy Reserve and Marine Reserve outfits here on Lambert Field also. So it's truly a joint base here, too.